You have your program. I'd like you to turn to the very back of your program. On that back page, you'll find the scriptures, the message outline we're going to follow very closely today. Our scripture is from Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 12 through 15 and verse 40. Acts chapter 16, verses 12 through 15 and verse 40. And it reads, "And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed." So I want to speak to you this morning this subject, a great Christian example, In your introduction, you'll see that this is Women's History Month, and because of it being Women's History Month, I thought it would be good for us to look at one of the great women in the scriptures, what her life says to us, and how she sets a good example for all believers. Women are an integral part of the church and have been from this very beginning. And so it's appropriate and right. Actually, on Sundays, every Sunday is Women's History Month, because our churches wouldn't exist if we didn't have the women that are in our churches. And so we are grateful and thankful to God. And this opportunity is just an example of how God is at work in the life of the believer. God is at work. And so what I want to try to focus on is how he used Lydia, who actually is the first person to be converted, the first person baptized in Europe. And because she was the first in Europe, by extension, America comes from Europe. America comes from the European countries. And so it actually is an extension of what happens to the American church. Now God is at work bringing a conversion through his holy word. Now, I think you also probably should note that in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter, which is about 8 chapters before the 16th chapter, you'll see the first African person, which was an Ethiopian man. He was a eunuch, and he was baptized 8 chapters before what happens in Europe. And I'm not trying to say the Europeans are always behind us. I'm just trying to say that was a joke. Yeah. But in the scriptures, it does show us how countries are always being converted, and God is always at work, not just for one ethnicity or one group of people. He's at work to try to change the whole world. God is at work. And we get a microcosm of that in the book of Acts, where the gospel goes to Europe, the gospel goes to Africa, the gospel goes all over the world. And so as we look at this passage today, we want to look at what God is doing, not just in Lydia's life, but in the life of believers everywhere. And so the scripture tells us, it was in this chapter that Paul has this Macedonian call. And the Macedonian call was a man that appeared to Paul, I think it's around verse 8 or 9, a man appears to Paul and says, "Come over to Macedonia." It was a man in the vision. Now, I like how J. Vernon McGee interprets this passage. J. Vernon McGee says that the Macedonian call that Paul saw as a man actually ended up being a woman. He says that it was him meeting Lydia and baptizing her. Now, some scholars maintain that it really wasn't Lydia. Lydia was the first to be baptized, but in that same chapter, in the Later in that same chapter, the Philippian jailer also is baptized. So there are two households baptized in the 16th chapter of Acts. Lydia's household, not only Lydia, but her household, and that's important. We'll get to that in a minute. Then the Philippian jailer and his household. So it's important for us to know that it was a woman and a man. I'm not so sure I like that order. Woman, then the man. But that's the order that it happened in the scriptures. This woman is baptized, and then later this man was baptized. And then we'll see later on, even after that, that the brethren, meaning the men and the women, have come together, and God is doing something there. And I want you to note, as we look through this passage of scripture, there are some attributes that we want to note regarding this woman that is baptized. We don't get that much regarding the man. We know that he's baptized. We know he asked, what must he do to be saved? But we don't really get, and we know that his whole household was baptized. And we also know that he did show mercy to the Apostle Paul and to those that were with Paul in bringing them to his house. Now, it's rare that a jailer would take the prisoner to the jailer's house. Usually you didn't want anybody from the prison knowing where you lived, and you certainly didn't want them knowing your whole family. But that's what happened with this jailer. And it does have something to do with how the Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit, he makes us safe. Even if we've been prisoners before, he makes us safe now. And so we're going to see some of that at work in the life of Lydia today. What I want you to note is, first of all, in verse 13, it tells us it was the Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, which was a Saturday, because they recognized that they were in a new place. They're in this place called Philippi. And Philippi, of course, is in Macedonia. That's why I wanted verse 12 to be there. So you'll see Philippi is a city in Macedonia. So he's answering the call to come to Macedonia. And he does that by going to Philippi, which is a city in the state of Macedonia. He goes there, and while he's there for some days. Basically, he's saying, nothing happened. I answered the call, but nothing happened. And it's strange, my brothers and sisters, sometimes you can be doing exactly what God wants you to do, and nothing happens. And well, I thought something should be happening by now. So the Sabbath day comes. Some say they were there 5, 6 maybe even 7 days, but then the Sabbath day comes, and when the Sabbath comes, they recognize that there was not a Jewish synagogue in the city. There was no no sanctuary for them to worship. There was not even a group of Jewish men, because it takes 10 men in order for them to establish a sanctuary. And so since they didn't have 10 men that were Jewish, that were connected, the next thing that they normally would do, it was just go by a riverside and have prayer. So since it was the Sabbath day, verse 13 tells us, they decided, well, they would just go out to by the riverside, and it says that place is where prayer was customarily made. Now, I want you to note that this is what I want you to see about Lydia. Lydia is a person that went where prayer was customarily made. That's verse 13. Go to a place. This is a good example for all of us. Go to a place where people customarily pray. This is not something that's arbitrary. This is not something that happens every great once in a while. This is something that customarily happens, that regularly happens. It is their custom. It is something that they always do. When you go to a Christian home, something that every Christian home will always do is they will always, if they're going to sit down to a meal, they will always offer a prayer. Now, I'm usually looking at the meat while I'm praying, but I'm still going to pray. The custom was that they would pray. And so since there was no synagogue there, and there was no group of men that would come together as a worship body. They said, well, let's just go what we normally would do, is we would normally find some praying people on a Saturday by the riverside. So they went out just looking to see if they would find some people that would gather for prayer. And when they looked, they found Lydia and this group of women that were there who had gathered for prayer. Now, when you read this in the scripture, you should also note that there was a certain way that a rabbi who had been trained in scripture, there was a certain way this rabbi was set down, and this the way he sits down, pretty much like what happened with Jesus on when he gave the Beatitudes. If you read that in the fifth chapter of Matthew, he sat down. And the scripture says, then his disciples were around him. Well, what happens now is that the Apostle Paul, he sits down. And remember, Luke is there. Luke is the one writing this. And then we also know Silas was there. And we also know Timothy was there. And so these four men were there. Paul sits down. And then these men kind of gather around him as if though they were disciples of his. And it's right there in verse 13. So he sits down and he says, and we sat down and spoke to the women. And as they spoke to the women who were meeting there, it became obvious that Paul was now the teacher of this group. He actually was the teacher of this group of men, but the women were there in prayer. And the women allowed these men to come in and say, let's hear what God has to say through you. Or if God is even in you at all, we'll determine that by what we hear you say. And so they sat down, Paul and this group just sat down, and they began to speak. As they are speaking, and so first thing I want you to know, your first part of your outline, Lydia is as a person that went where prayer was customarily made, because I want you to get in the custom of being around praying people. I didn't know that being around my father and grandfather, and my father had five brothers, I didn't know that being around my uncles, and four of the five ended up being preachers, and the fifth one was a deacon at the church. And I didn't know just being around them was having any kind of a positive impact on me. But what I did know is that I loved being around them as they prayed. And my grandfather was the oldest, so he's the father of them. And my grandfather almost always says a two or three word prayer, God bless us. I mean, you're the leader of this group, and all you're going to say is, God bless us? And granddaddy would shut up. He wouldn't say anything else. His sons then would begin to pray. My dad would begin to pray. And I realized later on that granddaddy was just opening it up. He wanted to hear them pray. He wanted to know what was on their hearts. And when you listen to somebody pray, you get two things. You get what's on their heart, and you also get what is God doing. You have a sense of what God is doing in a person's life based on their prayers. If all is well, it's a lot of hallelujahs in the prayers. When things are a struggle, things are challenged, there's a lot of, Lord, come stand by me in the prayer. My favorite expression is, Lord, have mercy. There's a lot of plea for mercy in the prayer. Now that we are at war, my daily prayer, Lord, have mercy. We need a God of mercy. God, we need you to change hearts. We need you to offer peace in us, so we can offer peace to the world. God, hear us when we cry. You learn a lot about a person and their relationship with God just based on their prayers. And Lydia was a woman who believed in prayer. And so the first thing we learned about Lydia is that she was customarily there with prayer. She made it that custom to be around praying people. I want you to make that your custom. Find somebody you can pray with. The next thing we know about Lydia is that she was a business person. She's a praying person first, but she also is a business person. So verse 14 says that this woman, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. Not only is she, I should say this, not only is she a praying person, but she is, the very next thing we learn about her is that she also is a listener. Scripture says here, verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia, what do we hear? She heard us. You can't hear anybody unless you're listening. She was listening. She's listening to what Paul is saying. She's listening to what Luke is saying, what Timothy and Silas are saying. She's listening. And the Bible tells us, Luke wants you and I to know that she heard us. And then once we know that she heard them as they were speaking, it then tells us she was a seller of purple. It tells us that she was, first of all, around praying people, and then she listened to the prayers. You got to get around some praying people, but then you need to listen to the prayers. Don't come to church and miss every prayer. And if you miss the sermon, I think that's optional, but you don't want to miss the prayer. That's us talking to God and God talking back to us. Make sure you hear the prayers. Prayer makes a difference in a person's life. Prayer will reassure you that you are not by yourself. Prayer will let you know that you got a God above who's looking down on you. We need to have a strong prayer life. She was customarily in prayer, and not only, it doesn't even say that she prayed. It says she heard the prayers. She was hearing prayers. She was letting prayers come into her life. So here she is. She was there where people were customarily praying, and then she heard those prayers. Then it tells us she was a business person, a seller of purple. This seller of purple means that to sell purple, particularly in Philippi, she had to be authorized to be a seller of purple, because that authority had to come from the household of Caesar. Caesar himself had to issue a business permit for you to be a seller of purple. And because of that, sellers of purple usually had a royalty that was their primary customers. So she had a foundation of having a royalty, those that worked in the royal court as part of her business associates. She was a seller of purple. She had a permit to offer to spread this purple fabric, and purple, of course, as you know, is the color of royalty. And so she had this royal permit to work in this idea of selling purple. And it's important in the scriptures, because most of the time it was men that were in business. But we never learn of her having a husband. We never learn of her having any man in her life. What we learn is that she had what the scripture calls a household, which could have been her employees, could have been some say that she, some commentators suggest that she may have adopted some children, or she may have had a sister, a brother who had children, and they passed away. And so she now is taking the responsibility of raising up these children. There was somebody that made up her household. And when she becomes baptized, converted, then the Bible says not only was Lydia, but her household. She impressed this upon those that were a part of her household. So what we learn about Lydia, and this is very important for us, is that she was this businesswoman, but the businesswoman also was a woman that would worship God. So it's in the same sentence. She was a seller of paper from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. She was a business person, entrepreneur, a person that was in business, but she also worshiped God. If you're going to be a business person, you need to make sure that you worship God. You need to make sure that your business doesn't interfere with your relationship with your God. She used her business to amplify her work with God, to push her stronger in the Lord. She didn't let that distract her from worshiping God. She continued to worship God even though she was in business. Our business should be, first of all, to bring honor to our God. And then when we bring honor to our God then will bless our business. If you're in the business of honoring God, God will bless that business. And in blessing the business, he's going to bless whatever other things you're involved in. It could be a seller of purple or whatever other business you're involved in. God will bless you because you are being a blessing to him. Lydia, she sets a great example for every believer. She was this praying person who listened to prayers, and then she was in business, but then she also, while she's in business, she also worshiped God. That's a great combination right there. She worshiped God. But further, I want you to note, not only does she worship God, the scripture says the Lord opened her heart. The Lord, my brothers and sisters, if you will get around praying people, and if you will then become one of those praying people by worshiping God, the result is going to be the Lord will open your heart. Doesn't matter what your age is. We never get Lydia's age. We don't know if she was a very young woman, a middle-aged woman, a senior woman. We don't know. What we know is that she was one that was customarily in a place where people prayed. She listened to the prayers. And then the Bible says she worshiped God and the Lord, not the Apostle Paul, not Dr. Luke, the Lord opened her heart. And my brothers and sisters, that's what God does. He opens up our hearts. If you got a relationship with God, God will open your heart. If you will pray to God, God will open your heart. If you will say, God, I want to be a blessing to your name, God will open your heart. God opened her heart. And I'm asking God to open up our hearts. And the evidence, somebody say evidence. The evidence that the heart was open was that she heeded the word of God. This is what the scripture says. God opened her heart to heed. Somebody said to heed. That means to obey. She now is obeying the things spoken by Paul because the Lord had opened her heart. And when you start to obey the scripture, that's not you accidentally doing that. That's the Lord opening your heart. Now, remember what happened with Pharaoh. The scripture says God hardened his heart. And you're going to have one response or the other. You're going to either have God open your heart or you're going to have God harden your heart. I hope and pray that you will have God open your heart so you can obey what the Lord asks of you. The scripture tells us here that she heeded the word spoken by Paul. Paul spoke is speaking the word of God, and the evidence that she's heeding that is that she heard with an open heart. And the open heart then allowed her to heed what God's word is saying to her. Now, Paul was saying that when you heed the word of God, you want to be baptized and you want to have God come into your life. And the way to do that is to ask God to cleanse your heart. Ask God to wash you clean. And say to God, God, I want to be a part of the family of God. So she heeded those things spoken by Paul. And when Paul had her and her household baptized, then the scripture tells us she begged them, saying, if you found me faithful, then come and stay with me at my house. Now, this is the first Christian church in Philippi. It starts in Lydia's house. It starts, they were meeting by the river, and now Lydia says, we don't have to keep meeting by the river. I got a house big enough where we can meet in my house. And it is, I believe that Lydia was a person of means because there was at least a four grown men, Paul, Luke, Timothy, and Silas, that she had in her house. And some commentators say they each had their own room in the house. So that means it's at least a four or five bedroom house. And that's just for the guests. That don't include the workers and the other people that were on the ground. And so she had a big house. And she's now using that big house to be a blessing to the people of God. My brothers and sisters, if God blesses you with a business, or God blesses you with a reasonable portion of health and strength, you need to use that to the glory of God. God ought to get some benefit from your life. My friend, the late Bill Epps, used to like to say that your service is the price that you pay for the space you occupy. If you occupying space on this planet, then you need to be offering some service to God. And when you no longer going to offer any service, then God doesn't need you here. Say to God, God, I want to be of service to you. If you want more health, you're asking God to bless your health so that you can be of greater service to God. Here's what Lydia does. She uses what she has to the service of God. I want to be able to bless the people of God. I want to be able to help spread the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So she uses her physical things, her money, her house, her servants, she uses her employees, everything she has, she's offering it to the service of God. That is when a person is on the right track. That's when a person has their heart open to God. Let me get to the last thing, I'll be finished for today. The scripture tells us, lastly, that verse 40 says, so they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. The last thing I want you to know about Lydia is that she is a part of this encouragement. They are now meeting, the church was meeting by the river. Now they're meeting at Lydia's house. And there used to just be women meeting there, but now it's the brethren, meaning men and women are there. Some of those women have had their husbands or their sons or their nephews or whatever connection they had with another male. They've now become part of the family of God. And they are meeting at Lydia's house. And when Paul and Luke and Silas and Timothy get there, they get there that they might encourage them. So as I close today, I'm thinking of what word might they have said that would be an encouragement? How did they encourage them? Well, they encouraged them with the same way the scriptures encourage us today. The most encouraging part of the scripture, the most encouraging part of the Bible is that we have what we now call Good Friday. And I believe that they encouraged them by saying Good Friday started out as Bad Friday. It was a bad Friday because they crucified our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They put nails in his hands. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And as these men are listening to what Paul is saying, they had to be wondering, every time I listen to a preacher, I'm wondering, how is he going to get to Calvary? How is she going to get to Calvary? Because that's where the good news is. The good news is, on Calvary, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. That's what I need. I need forgiveness for my sin. The good news is, Jesus says, it is finished. I need to know the work of salvation is finished. God has already completed all I needed to be saved. I don't have to recite any certain poem. I don't have to read any certain scripture. All I got to do is accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. The good news is, my brothers and sisters, that when Jesus died for our sins, the Bible says on the third day, he got up out of the grave and he declared, all power is in my hand. That's good news. All power to bless our lives, power to lift us up, power to turn our lives around. That's good news. He encouraged them with the good news of the gospel. We got a living Christ. We got a Savior who died for our sins. My sin can't weigh me down anymore. I got a Savior that lifted that burden. I got a Savior that raised me from the dead. Our God is the one that calls us to be with him. We can be encouraged that whatever we might go through, we got this Christ who said, I will overcome. Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have that promise from Jesus Christ. Whatever you go through, God tells us, be of good cheer. You can be happy. It may not feel good right now, but you can be happy. God already has the victory for you. God already has won the battle for you. God already has made a way for you. I'm glad that I can report we got a living Savior. He'll make a way. He'll create a way. He will bring us through. We got a Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, on Christ, on Christ Jesus, my Lord, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Maybe somebody wants to accept this Christ today. Man, woman.